Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you. Earlier this week, the Food and Drug Administration approved a new version of the antipsychotic medication Abilify. But here's a twist. This pill is digital. It allows a patient or a doctor, up to four other people, to get on a smartphone app and monitor whether that medication has been taken as prescribed. Now, other pharmaceutical companies are rushing to get on the digital pill bandwagon. You probably predicted that. But some ethicists are raising concerns here about potential abuse. And you're concerned, too.
Mark from Salt Lake City. I wouldn't sign up. Insurance will ding us every time. Rates would go up any time I missed. Of course, there's a monetary incentive for doctors and insurance companies to create a marketplace for this information.
There are some concerns that you heard there from Mark in Salt Lake City. Now, some of you aren't alarmed at all and say that a digital pill is just another way to be reminded to take your medicine.
This is Julia from Clayton, California. All I know is that it's great for people who suffer from schizophrenia and who often forget to take their medication. To err is human. I don't think it would work for the elderly who don't have smartphones to remind them. I had two kids in high school and a full-time job and had to move my father in to take care of him. It's a very big job doing medications and doctor's appointments and the bathing and the feeding. I'm very interested to see how this works with the implanted chip.
Emily Largent is Assistant Professor of Medical Ethics and Health Policy at the University of Pennsylvania. Emily, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, you heard some of the concerns from our listeners, and we're going to get to a lot of the ethical implications here. But first of all, a digital pill. How does it work?
So as you mentioned, Abilify is an antipsychotic, and it's prescribed to patients for conditions like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and depression. So the digital pill that was just approved is actually the Abilify that patients have already been taking. But in addition, the pill has a small sensor inside that's about the size of a grain of sand. And when the patient swallows it and it gets in contact with their stomach acid, it actually generates an electrical signal. And that signal is detected by a Band-Aid-like patch that's worn on the patient's rib cage. Then the patch sends the date and time to a cell phone app via Bluetooth. So patients can go into their cell phone app, as we do with a lot of things, and they can add information about their mood, activity, the rest they've been getting. And then that information is transmitted to a database that can be accessed by the caregivers, family, friends, as you mentioned, up to four people who the patient gives permission for.
So the extent of the data from the digital part of this digital pill, is it any more than took it or didn't take it?
So that's actually, right now, it is about the date and time and the amount that's taken, but you could imagine this having a host of additional information over time. So it's not limited, it's just that in this case, they're focusing on date and time.
All right, so what are some of the ethical questions as you see it, Emily?
So I think that they come in sort of two flavors. There are the benefits that we can anticipate from this, and that is that about half of patients fail to take medications as that are prescribed. And this, you know, obviously if you don't take a pill, the pill can't do much for you. And so non-adherence has serious consequences for patients, and it also has a lot of social costs associated with it. We would estimate that there's more than $100 billion a year in healthcare spending attributed to patients not taking medications, and at least 100,000 people die preventable deaths because they're not taking their medications. So what we're looking at is that we have these ethical benefits and that we might be able to have greater adherence and address these problems. But on the flip side, we think that there are privacy concerns. So patients who are having pills taken in this way, you know, we're worried about the information being hacked, the worry of our times, particularly because mental illness is stigmatized. We're worried about this particular population of patients being the first group going out. And we really need to think about how clinicians are using the information. One of the callers mentioned that they were worried about insurance companies using it against them. And we really need to know, are we using this information to try to collaboratively problem solve with patients to help improve their adherence? Are we trying to tailor medication regimens for their benefit? Or are we going to use it in punitive ways? This leads to a second set of questions about coercion and consent. I don't think these pills are going to be good for everyone. There will be some patients who are vulnerable, and we need to make sure that their employers, insurers, and others who are in positions of power over them don't inappropriately require monitoring that patients might not want.
So it sounds like one of the best uses here may be in a case like schizophrenia, a disease where patients can fundamentally lack insight. or the ability to stick to the medication that they need to get better. This could not only remind, but could also alert caregivers whether the medication is being taken in the first place.
Yeah, I think that phone a friend aspect of it could be particularly helpful. There have been some studies done on smart pill bottles. And so these are bottles that communicate with cell phone apps. They might buzz if you miss a dose or send you a text message. And studies have actually found those pill bottles by themselves don't do much to increase adherence, that it's actually even better when the bottle notifies a friend who can maybe come in and nudge you to take the medication.
You know, but Emily, you also raised the prospect of a form of coercion here. We say that we value medical privacy in this culture, but even someone who can't or won't make the best decisions for themselves still has a right to make bad decisions. So this monitoring, does it amount to an invasion of privacy or at a minimum a diminution of agency?
I don't think it has to. So there have been some protections that are built into this. The first thing is that this grain of sand-sized sensor is digested by the body and excreted. So people aren't continually having a monitoring device inside of them. The Band-Aid-like patch can be removed, and it has to be replaced at every 7 days. Anyhow, and there are protections in place, too, that patients can go in and they can instantly remove their physicians and their family members from seeing their data if they don't want them to. So patients do still have a fair amount of control. And I think we also need to think that in these situations, patients might have insight in the present and would like to prevent their future selves from making decisions that could harm them.
But look, we heard from a caller in Salt Lake City who had major concerns about insurance companies, and I think he's right. They would love to have as much of this data as possible, even as it gets richer and richer into the future. One important exercise, Emily Largent, here is to take these ethical questions and take the scenario to its logical conclusion. So what is that for you with Abilify, the digital pill, in the future?
So I think that the FDA is already anticipating an extreme uptick in requests for approval of other digital pills, and I think that we're going to have serious conversations about who can see the data, how it's protected. We could, of course, imagine that insurance companies might try to condition coverage on good adherence, but right now the plans are to simply offer them de-identified data so that they can see general trends rather than patient-specific information, and we're going to really need to put protections in place to make sure that people aren't punished for making decisions that maybe make the most sense for them.
A new digital pill approved by the FDA, and now patients, doctors, and ethicists grapple with the questions that follow. Emily Largent, Assistant Professor of Medical Ethics at University of Pennsylvania, thank you.
Thank you.
What do you think?
This is Linda from New Jersey. I would not be interested in taking a digital pill because I believe it's my responsibility to take my medicine if I choose to. And if I choose not to, that's my business, and it's no one else's business. I have no problem with others using the technology if they choose to, however.
My name is Meredith Glenn. I'm from Provo, Utah. I would not choose to take the digital pill. I wouldn't want to put those weird things in my body. And I think if people aren't willing to take responsibility for their own pill taking, they aren't invested in their own health. So why should it be the doctor's responsibility to keep track of whether the patient takes the pill or not?
This is Portia Scott. I'm calling you from Charleston, South Carolina. No, I would not sign up for this type of medication at all. I mean, I enjoyed George Orwell's book, 1984. However, I am not ready to live there yet.
We got this from Carl on our Facebook page. As long as it's voluntary, I wouldn't have a problem. But if insurance companies issued some sort of compulsory mandate, that would be an ethical breach, as far as I'm concerned.